Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. I would mention again that Daleville Christian Church is looking for the next lead pastor of the congregation. We are listed at churchjobfinder.com, or you may email me if you have not seen that listing. Daleville Pastor 1, that's Daleville Pastor, the number 1, at mac.com. Congregation would also like me to remember to remind you that God's Word is central at Daleville Christian Church. And although parts of the Bible are thousands of years old, they can still speak to us today, and it is my belief that God's Word, our Lord, through God's Word, would like to speak to you today in your situation. We have an affirmation of our faith from a letter to the churches in and around the Greek city of Ephesus, the second chapter. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. For by grace you all have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not because of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Notice the order. Grace saved you all through faith. Then, being God's workmanship, the Holy Spirit is given to us for doing good. Word of God for today is from the same letter of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 11 through 14. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. I mentioned last time that both God and the devil are having a hard time finding followers in America in the 21st century. The Religious News Service quoted a 2023 Gallup poll. The poll asked about beliefs in five spiritual entities: God, the devil, angels, hell, and heaven. Belief in all five is at its lowest point since Gallup began polling about these five topics in 2001. I, your pastor, want to ask another question or another topic. Do Americans believe in the church? I can even ask, do American Christians believe in the church? Because from the people I have talked to who do not attend church, the answer is no, they do not believe in the church. I think you knew that. Belief in the church in America has been declining since 1970. That's just my guess. 1970 is a benchmark year when Americans were questioning all sources of authority, institutions, government, and religious institutions. Now, most Americans might say, but the church is not a spiritual entity. But friends, the church is a spiritual entity. The church has a human institutional structure, but the church is a spiritual entity. The Bible says so. And our claim that the church is spiritual, although it has an institutional body, is like unto our own bodies that also have souls, although the soul is within a physical human body. We are spiritual beings. Revelation chapter 1, the mystery, this is what the risen Jesus Christ said, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and of the seven golden lampstands is this: the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. And we were all given the one Spirit. And then now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. I'd mentioned last time that preaching on Satan was not a fun topic. Come to find out that it's hard to find fun sermon topics. There are favorite topics, and there are Bible verses that got preached on more often. There is an obvious problem with having the pastor or the congregation have the pastor preach on favorite topics or favorite Bible verses. What's the problem with favorites? Your preaching Bible gets smaller and smaller and smaller. The preacher and the church should insist that the preacher seek to preach the entire Bible, not the entire Bible on one Sunday, but seek to touch on all of the Word of God throughout the year and throughout the decade. The reason I make so many references in the sermon notes, which you'll find on the website or on the YouTube channel, I know that some of you know those other verses of the Bible, and I have to take those into account when I preach from whatever Bible verses I am referring to. In 2021, all the most preached Bible verses were from the New Testament. Let me just say that the most downloaded sermon at Daleville Christian Church's website is entitled Jeremiah's Birds, Jesus' Words. That sermon has to look at the words of the prophet Jeremiah. I believe it's Jeremiah 8:7. And people looking for God's Word touching on the Old Testament can and do find a message like that at Daleville Christian Church's website. So it isn't that the sermons using the Old Testament can be popular. The truth is that God's Word is popular. But Americans are not getting enough of God's Word. All of God's Word, New Testament and Old Testament. That, my friends, is only one of the problems of rugged individualism in the church. I can only hope that in the churches of America that every Christmas and Advent the Old Testament gets a place in the sermons offered, but I don't know that. If we look for preaching using Old Testament verses, worship leaders or pastors use Psalms, Genesis, and Isaiah. You, Daleville Christian Church, speak from the Psalms every Sunday in our opening sentences, which has been your custom for decades. If we look at the most preached on Bible verses in 2021, none of them contain the word church. Three of the verses preached upon suggest the church. The closest reference to the church that is preached is Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, those both use the plural, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, also plural, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So it suggests worshiping together since it addresses brothers and sisters and their bodies and worship. The apostle suggests that the church is offering itself in worship, that we are here together to worship the Lord, that in and of itself that is an offering to the Lord. Skip the offering plates. Skip the plates around the sanctuary or in the entryway. One of your offerings is being together in worship, bringing yourself, your body, to the worship. That is an offering to the Lord. Another verse preached upon in 2021 suggests the church is also from Romans chapter 5, but God demonstrates his own love for us, plural, in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, all of us addressed by the letter. The church or even churches are addressed because we are certain that the letters of the apostles were sent to the churches, intended for the churches, and circulated from church to church. The letter was read in the worship where everyone in worship would hear the Word of God. One more verse that was preached on, which does suggest the church, although the word church is not in the verse, is from the same letter of today's Bible reading for us, Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Did you notice the problem with that version of the Bible in the verse? See the problem? It says you. The proper translation is you all. Plural. For it is by grace you all have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. And you might say to me, but Pastor, it says this is not from yourselves. So we know the first, by grace, you have been saved, is plural. Ah, but my friends, not all versions of the Bible use the plural yourselves. Sometimes they just say you, or this is not your doing. Why is this a problem? Two reasons. This is a problem. It isn't a proper translation without the plural emphasized, because that's the way the apostle wrote it. That's the way our Lord intended it. Secondly, it allows Americans who are already too concerned with their personal salvation and their personal relationship with Jesus that the whole idea of church is left out. There was a popular country song 15 years ago simply entitled, "Me and God." God never intended, and Jesus never intended, that life would be lived, me and God. But getting back to Ephesians 2:8, of the 50 to 60 versions of Ephesians 2:8 available on the website Bible Gateway, which I hope you use, only one is sure to say, grace gave us life together with Christ. Gave us life together. It's only in the Phillips version of the Bible. And the other real problem with this is the problem is that most American Christians simply don't care. I can give an example, a good example, from a whole other area of American concern. Let's talk about guns in America. I'm not going to talk about gun control or about the Second Amendment rights. I want us to notice how we talk about our Second Amendment rights. One of the most stated challenges to gun control is this: do not deny me my right to my gun. Friends, your American citizen neighbor also has a right to guns. How come we always emphasize my right to a gun? Why don't we argue for our neighbor's right to a gun? Why not? Because Americans don't care. As I watch Americans argue about gun rights, I notice that the National Rifle Association, while making a case for guns and a case for gun ownership, the NRA does not offer free classes in gun ownership and safety. Yes, the NRA offers classes, but all the ones I found were $85 to over $100 to learn about gun safety and safe storage of firearms. I'm thinking that people who generally are not safety conscious are not going to pay to become safety conscious. Safety is for the other guy, not for me. Emphasis on me. There isn't even emphasis on our neighbor's rights on the streets of America. How are we going to find emphasis on the one Holy Spirit that makes us the church? Now, please allow me to start blaming America's pastors and evangelists for this American individualism. You know, I used to have a lot of respect for American pastors, but I've been losing that respect in the 21st century. So, yes, this passage in Ephesians that we are looking at was preached on more in 2021. However, I double-checked, and sure enough, maybe only in the deep south of America did preachers get this verse correct. It is by grace you all are saved. Our own pew Bibles should more accurately read, "For it is by grace you all have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." The gift is not from y'all. This gift is from God. I often remind people at funerals, no one's going to be by themselves in heaven. Jesus himself said that people will come from north and south and east and west and sit at table with the kingdom in the kingdom of God. If there is someone in the church you attend that you don't want to see at the great communion table in heaven, you better get to work on that right now. And if you absent yourself from the Lord's communion table, the communion table about which Jesus said, do this, do this. I wonder if when we die, we have to answer the question from Jesus, friend, why do you want to come to my communion table now that you are deceased? Do you remember that you have not practiced communion in your life on earth? What are you planning to do in heaven when attendance at the communion table is required? What are you going to say when the person next to you asks, did I see you last Christmas at church? Did I see you last Easter at church? Do you belong to the church I attended? I don't recall ever seeing you there. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us there won't be embarrassing questions in heaven. It's all about the truth in heaven. And that, my friends, is only one part of the problem of rugged individualism in the church. One of the problems of our faith life being me and God. The other half of the problem, rugged individualism in the church, is this. People who absent themselves from the worship actually suffer from low self-esteem. In the great film, It's a Wonderful Life, I can hope you've seen this great film several times. You recall that George Bailey in the film, played by the late, great Jimmy Stewart, George Bailey was facing failure. Failure at work, failure at home, and failure in his own dreams for his own life. George Bailey thinks to jump off a bridge, put an end to his life, when an angel intervenes. The angel's allowed to show George Bailey what life in his town would have been like if George Bailey had never been born. George Bailey learns that although he is facing failure, that George Bailey has really had a wonderful life. The lesson is spoken by his guardian angel, Clarence. Each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he? Each person's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he? You see, failure to attend church is one of those sins of omission. On the one hand, we are concerned for me and my faith, but we don't believe we could help someone else with their walk of faith. Even though everything in the New Testament says you and I make a difference in Jesus' church, even me. I make a difference in Jesus' church, and I've had serious doubts about my value in Jesus' church. The prophet Elijah had serious doubts about his effectiveness as the Lord's prophet. Jonah had serious doubts about his value as one of the Lord's prophets. Jonah thought the Lord should send someone else to Nineveh. Moses didn't think he was the right man for the Lord's needs. Low self-esteem almost seems a prerequisite for getting God's work done. But too many Americans hearken to their own voice and not to the Lord's as they say, I will absent myself from Jesus' church. Some people are even loyal to the church they refuse to attend. Oh, I belong to so-and-so church, but I never attend worship at all, anywhere. I knew a woman for whom church membership was a problem because of a previous church she attended, but the whole time she lived in Daleville, she attended Daleville Christian Church. Praise the Lord, I didn't try to talk her into church membership. I just celebrated her presence at Daleville Christian Church. We should all celebrate our presence at the church we worship in. Jesus does. What's that old saying? People won't hear the sermon you say, but people will watch the sermon you do or demonstrate in your life. I remind you of one of the most important statements Jesus made about the church. Matthew 16:18. I read the better version and translation of this verse, thankfully found in our pew Bibles and in the King James Version. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Notice the detail. The church will exist, and the gates of Hades or hell will not overcome the church. Jesus did not say to Peter, the gates of hell will not overcome you, Peter, an individual. The gates of hell will not overcome the church of Jesus. Which church is the church of Jesus? Find one. The church of Jesus has to be around somewhere. Ask, seek, Knock, Jesus said. If the church you don't attend isn't a church of Jesus, keep looking. I think we can all be glad that I did not look at myself and decide on my own if I should be a pastor, or even if I should be a pastor of a small church in a small town in this state, because, as you know, I promised myself I would never do that. And I meant what I promised, because I quit pastoring altogether once. Jesus took a dim view of my decision. But by that time, I just assumed I had missed God's will in becoming a pastor, but I didn't just ask the Lord about it. I asked church official whether I was right to quit ministry. I waited to see what a church I served as an interim thought about me as a pastor. They all thought I should be a pastor. I didn't just check with me. I checked in with other followers of Jesus. I didn't get the final say. I didn't make myself the final authority on whether I should continue to be a pastor. But a great number of believers today are still making themselves an authority about participating in church. They feel that their salvation is sealed, and good luck to anyone else. But I will not help you with any spiritual matters about life. Friends, is that how we read our Bibles? Good luck with your faith walk? I'm done with my faith walk? Maybe we can be glad that I didn't read the Bible that way, that I read the plural words as they appear plural in the Bible's original languages. Today's verse is from the Apostle. God gives people, plural, to equip his people, plural, for works of service, plural. So that the body of Christ can be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. We all together reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. The Apostle says elsewhere, 1 Corinthians 14, so with yourselves, since you all are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. All of us. And remember, the Apostle is talking about a spiritual building, one not made with hands. And friends, the church is not built by the church's leaders. The church is built by the Holy Spirit in service to others. Jesus said that. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. The church is not built by the church's leaders. The church is built by the Holy Spirit in service to others. Perhaps American Christians think that refusing to attend worship is some sort of humility, perhaps believing that they are not good enough or holy enough, or that they can't participate for others' benefit. But again, Jesus' own words and the Apostles' words suggest that even if, like me, you've doubted your own value in church, you need to remember, like me, that maybe Jesus and the Apostles know something I don't know. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus and the Apostles know something we don't know. We should all celebrate our presence in the church that we worship in. Why celebrate our presence in church? Because our Lord Jesus certainly does. Amen.